Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is the text. Last week, we talked about worship and life in the church and how we continually fail, which is why we need to worship, to confess our sins, to hear the absolution, to remember our baptism, hear the words of the gospel, take in Christ's body and blood. As we heard Jesus say last week, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And he says, those who don't, there's no life in you. As I said last week, paraphrasing C.S. Lewis, either what we do here is of no importance and we're all wasting our time and we should have slept in this morning, or it is infinitely important because this is where God actually comes to us. But the one thing about God and life in his church is that it cannot be marginally important. It is everything or it's nothing. That's just the reality because of who God is and what he has done for us. However, there is no pristine, pure church on this side of eternity. We don't live in the all or nothing world because we sin. We fail. We spend our days figuring out how much we can get away with and imagine in our minds that God is still pleased with us in what we do because, you know, we're still better than those other people. Even though our reality is that we repeatedly fail, we live in sin. St. Paul says that the church is without spot or wrinkle. It's kind of like what we see in our intro for today. It's from the Psalms, as most all the intro verses are. But when David says, you know, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Have you ever read the Old Testament? David had the whole Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite incident. Yet he could say those words in the same way that we as the church can understand that we have been presented before God without spot or wrinkle. This is how Christ presents his bride. This is how Christ presents you. Last week in Bible class, we read through all of Revelation chapter 5, which I know if you've been in one of my Bible classes, it's kind of shocking you got through a whole chapter. But in Revelation 5, Christ, the Lamb who was slain but has risen, takes the scroll from he who sits upon the throne. And the Lamb is the only one who has the authority to break the seven seals on that scroll and reveal God's plan of salvation. It's like what we read about in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah. The scroll is sealed, and even those who read can't read it because they don't have the authority to read it and break the seal. There's only one who had the authority to do for you what God has done. Only Christ had the authority to save you. Only he had the authority to stand in your place, to take your punishment, to cover your sin, and present you to God the Father, righteous, pure, complete, without spot or wrinkle, holy, and without blemish. But living on this side of eternity, this is rarely how we feel. I would venture a guess that we never feel complete or pure or righteous. But it's a good thing that our salvation does not depend upon how we feel. Because we remember too much. We have too many commandments of both God and man circling around in our heads. Now, the commandments of God aren't the problem. Us not keeping them is the problem. And being born into our sinful self is the problem. We enter this world with red in our ledger, and we live our lives with blood on our hands. It's like the scene from Shakespeare's Macbeth. Lady Macbeth, Act 5, Scene 1. Lady Macbeth is scrubbing her hands again and again. She'll do it for 15 minutes at a time, we are told, or as Shakespeare said it, put it, a quarter hour. And she cries out, "Out, damned spot, out, I say." She sees this spot of blood on her hands, and it won't wash away. She goes on to say, she's talking to the doctor, and she says, "You can smell it." In reality, there was no physical blood. But there was nothing she could do to take the guilt away, because she had blood on her hands,
yeah,
figuratively, not literally. But it was like similar to, you know, Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart. I'm sure we all read that in school. It keeps pounding in your head. That's how sin feels. It just won't go away on its own. It's how sin always feels without Christ. Remember how last week I said that we teach our children false things, unimportant things, half-truths? We have all been taught to try to cover up what we have done, to cover up our sin, hide it away, and in time, you know, it'll be better. It's a lie. And it comes from the father of lies. It's like this quote I saw on Facebook this week. If the devil offers you the world with all of its treasures and pleasures, but leaves you hanging on a cross all by yourself, fed up and blaming Jesus. Satan offers you all the treasures and pleasures of the world and then wants you to take your sin and hide it, bury it deep inside, hoping that no one finds out, living in the vain hope that maybe God will just cover up his eyes. This is what Isaiah was talking about, again, in our Old Testament reading. It says, "You who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are dark, and who say, well, who sees us? Who knows us? Well, God does. And he has full understanding of everything you have ever done." Satan wants you to run away and hide. Satan wants you to be alone. And then be angry at God for feeling alone. God has provided a much better solution to the problem of sin and evil. Expose it, confess it, repent of it. Hear the words of the gospel. It is finished. There's only one who had the authority to break the seals of the scroll. There is only one who could be the husband to the church and to give himself up for her. There's only one who can take his bride, the church, and make her clean by the washing of water in the word and present her in splendor without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, as St. Paul says. Lady Macbeth stood there washing her hands saying, "Out, damned spot." Christ chose to be damned for you. He suffered the punishment for the guilt of your sin. He endured the separation from his heavenly Father, which is the worst part of being in hell. Judgment with no hope for grace. That is the ultimate punishment in hell. And this is what Christ chose as he went to the cross. Judgment with no hope for grace from God. Only he had the authority to lay down his life for his bride. Only he had the authority to take it up again. The spot and wrinkle and blemish of your sin, the red in your ledger, the blood on your hands, has been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And you have come out on the other side with robes that are white. Like a bride adorned on her wedding day, you are beautiful in the eyes of the groom. Life in the church is not about making sure you keep all the rules taught by men or honoring God with all the right words. As we heard here in our gospel reading, Jesus says, "In vain do they worship me." He's quoting Isaiah. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." As I said last week, God does not need your eternal flattery. He has plenty of glory and honor without anything coming from us. As Scripture says, he desires a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Turn, be changed, what the word means. And know that Christ has covered your sin. Lady Macbeth was broken and was trying to fix herself. Wash it away herself. Cover it up. There's only one who has the authority to fix your brokenness, to wash away that spot, to cover up your sin. And as he said on the cross, it is finished. He has covered your sin. He has washed that spot clean. And he presents you as a bride, dressed in white, without spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.